Hello, America. I'm Jamie Osborne, and this is World Changers on the Biz Talk Radio Network. We also welcome our TV audience on Biz TV and our digital audience on iHeartRadio. This is the show about everyday heroes who are doing well by doing good. We really can't turn on the news these days without seeing some sort of incident involving police officers. Just this morning in the town where I live, we had a police officer who was killed, unfortunately, yesterday in the line of duty. And there's a young lady who lives in Florida who is working to do her part to try to help those family members who are left behind after a police officer has been killed in the line of duty. Her name is Megan O'Grady, and she is with Blue Line Bears, and we welcome her now to World Changers. How you doing, Megan?
I'm good. How are you?
I am fine. So Megan is 16 years old. She's in Cape Coral, Florida, and we're going to start at the very beginning, Megan. So as I understand it, you are the daughter of a police officer. Your dad is a police officer. When you were 14, you came up with an idea. What was that idea?
I came up with the idea to make teddy bears out of the uniform shirts of fallen police officers to give to their families as memory bears.
And so how did you come up with the idea?
After the attack on Dallas in 2016, where the five officers were killed, my dad is obviously a police officer where we live, and it kind of prompted me to step up and try to do something for the families who have lost someone in the line of duty. And so I wanted to make something that the children and pretty much anyone at any age can hold that will help them remember who they've lost. And so I came up with the idea of teddy bears.
Well, that's awesome. So these aren't just teddy bears that you're buying and slapping a little uniform on, right? These are custom hand-sewn bears.
Yes, these are actually made out of the uniform shirt of the fallen officer.
So the entire bear, not just a shirt or something on the bear, but the entire bear is made out of
the entire bear.
Oh, wow. That's really cool. So so you came up with the idea, and then what happened next? Did you go to your dad or your mom or somebody and say, hey, I have this idea, or how did it go from there?
I sat down at the kitchen table with my parents, and at first it was just kind of like a rough sketch of an idea in my head, and I told them about it, and we ended up coming up with how to make the bears personalized for each family. And after that, my mom helped me set up a GoFundMe, and I raised up all the money to buy a machine and get stuffing and get everything started. And from there, it just really took off.
And so that idea that began, you know, kind of around your kitchen table grew into Blue Line Bears. You're now 16, so it's been a couple of years ago now. And it's evolved into an actual living, breathing nonprofit organization, right?
Yes.
What was that like? You know, forming a nonprofit is not a simple thing to do. Did you have help in that process?
I had the help of so many people along the way. There's no way that I could have done it all by myself, or even with the help of my parents alone. We had so many people along the way offer to help and get it all started and everything. And it's really amazing comparing like what it was before. It was just an idea that I had at the kitchen table, and then now it's an actual nonprofit, and I've been able to help over 100 families. So
that's 100 families, but those 100 families have received over 400 bears, right?
Yes.
Wow. Tell me about the very first one. So you came up with the idea, you developed your concept, and then you got started. But tell me about the very first bears that you delivered. What was that like?
Well, the very first bear that I ever made and delivered, well, the first two bears that I ever made and delivered were for Officer Deborah Clayton and Norm Lewis from Orlando. And they both ended up passing away in the same incident. And just making the bears at first was extremely emotional, and it was really hard to balance my emotions and everything. But I ended up being able to figure out how to balance emotions with some help of some friends and family. And I got to deliver those bears in person, and those were by far the most emotional deliveries I've ever made to this day.
So at the very beginning, you deliver the bears in person. How old were the kids who received the bears?
Actually, Deborah Clayton's son was in his 20s, and Norm Lewis didn't have any children, so I gave one to his mom and dad.
And what was the reaction?
It was extremely emotional. There was so much crying and hugging, and there was not a single dry eye in the room. Like, everyone was crying, and it was really hard because I started to really realize that these people had to start living their life without the one that they lost. And it really has fueled me to keep going, and that's why I keep going, is for the families.
Well, that's a lot, whether you're 16 or 66. That's a lot to deal with. Tell me a little bit about the process. So you read or you learn of a fallen officer. At what point do you contact the family, or how does it work, you know, from that point on, from the point of, you know, deciding that you want to serve a family and then ultimately being able to make the bear?
Honestly, and when contacting the department or family, we can do it one of two ways. Sometimes people will reach out to us through Facebook or email and ask us to make bears, and so we can do it that way. Or a few months after the officer has passed, we like to reach out to the departments and find out who can get us the shirts if the family would like the bears. And so we get the shirts in, and I cut them up into pieces and sew the pieces together, stuff them, and then put some embroidery pieces on them that make each bear unique. And then I put a St. Michael medal around its neck, and that's pretty much it.
So since you've gotten started, you mentioned earlier that a lot of people have helped you. This is probably now an effort in an organization that extends beyond just you, right?
Yes, it is.
How have people, you know, chosen to get involved with you? Are they donating time? Are they donating resources, space? I mean, what are some of the ways that people are getting involved?
Honestly, a lot of people are getting involved just by supporting in general, just like following us on social media and keeping up with what's going on, and like buying t-shirts and donating and stuff, because that's the way that Blue Line Bears builds, is by others knowing about it and telling others about it. So the more people that know, the better it is. So that's how a lot of people get involved in it.
Understandable. And tell me where it goes from here. So you're probably, maybe a sophomore, junior in high school. You've been at it since really the beginning of your high school years, it sounds like. Where do you see the organization growing from here?
I can only see it getting bigger because, I mean, so many officers are being killed in line of duty anymore. I mean, this year alone has been ridiculous. But I see it getting bigger and growing and including more people into it, and just really being bigger than it is right now.
All right. Megan O'Grady of Blue Line Bears makes bears out of the fallen, out of the uniforms of fallen police officers from around the country. Quickly, Megan, tell us how we find you online.
I have a website, which is bluelinebears.org, and on Facebook, it's Blue Line Bears, and Twitter and Instagram are also Blue Line Bears.
Megan O'Grady, thank you for being a world changer and for being on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me.
We'll be back with more world changers in a moment on the Biz Talk Radio Network. It's that time of the year, if you're a sports fan, where you're kind of feeling a little lost, I guess. The Super Bowl is over. It is not yet baseball season, but, you know, it is what it is. We endure this little interim season. I guess there's hockey, right, if you're a hockey fan. But I want to go now to Oklahoma, where there is a young man. His name is Cole Gilliland. And he is inspiring some people there with his athletic prowess, both on and off the field. How you doing, Cole?
I'm doing good.
Great. Well, let's hear a little bit about your story. So you are 13. You're in middle school, and you are an athlete. You play basketball, football, soccer. Is that right?
Correct. Correct.
And you're not just an athlete, you're a star athlete, as I understand it, at your school. But there is something special about you. What is it?
Oh, well, I have one hand, and it's what's it called? I was born that way.
Sure. And so... So you came into this world that way, and you obviously were born also with some natural athletic talent. And so tell me, you know, let's go back when you were a little kid, and you know, how did you develop that talent, and how many people have been surprised along the way?
Oh, well, I mean, lots of hard work. Lots of people have definitely been surprised. They've been like, how have you done it and stuff. I just thank God that for helping me through this time to help me get better at sports and help me even be able to play sports. So,
well, it sounds like you're doing a good job at it. So you have a favorite athlete, a professional athlete who's your hero, is that right?
Yes.
And who is that?
That's Shaquem Griffin.
And Shaquem Griffin is your hero. Why?
Oh, well, when I first heard of him, I heard that he had the same disability as me, and I saw him play football, and he was just, like, giving all he got. He was working really hard, and he was, like, inspiring a lot of people, plus me, so... He just inspired me to give it all I got.
So as you give it all you've got, and you don't give up and you don't quit and you keep working, what have you learned along the way about teamwork and about perseverance and about, you know, making a goal and achieving it? What have you learned?
Oh, well, I mean, it's hard, but like you gotta, like you said, I mean, you gotta persevere. I mean, your best, I mean, like King says, like your best never comes easy. So, I've learned that, you just gotta, go for it.
Well, I think that's pretty awesome. Have you had good coaches along the way?
Oh yeah. I've had great coaches along the way. They haven't treated me like, you know, like easy, like because I just have one hand and stuff. They treat me like every other player, just hard, and they don't treat me like, you know, just like easy or whatever.
Well, that's cool. So let's fast forward a little bit. Cole's dad, your dad, entered you into a contest that was sponsored by the Gillette company called Your Best Never Comes Easy. And he said in his entry that his inspiration was you, and the story won the contest, and it got you a trip where, Cole?
Well, it got me a trip to the Super Bowl. Man, it was awesome. I was just surprised, and I actually forgot about the contest at first, and I was like, "Wait, what contest?" And I was like, "Oh, your best never comes easy contest by Gillette and Shaquem." And I was just really excited and surprised at the same time. It was awesome, though.
So you got on an airplane, I'm guessing, probably in Oklahoma, and you flew to Atlanta for the Super Bowl. Is that right? You flew.
Correct. Yeah,
so
correct.
What were you thinking as you were descending on that airplane into Atlanta? What was on your mind?
I was like, I can't believe this is happening. I'm like, at first it just seemed like a dream. I'm like, and the whole trip actually seemed like a dream, and I was just, it's crazy. I'm like, I can't believe I'm actually going to the Super Bowl. This is like probably a once in a lifetime experience, and it was awesome though.
So who was able to go with you? Did your dad go with you, or the whole family, or what?
Oh yeah, it was just my dad. Yeah, it was just.
So, you know, in terms of your Super Bowl experience, what was your favorite part?
Oh, my favorite part? I mean, that's kind of hard to say because there was a lot of great stuff to do there in Atlanta. Like, I'd probably say just, like, the Super Bowl part was my favorite. I mean, watching it, I mean, I don't know if I'll ever be able to do that again, but there, in Atlanta, there's a lot of stuff to do, like the Coca-Cola place, the aquarium, like all these great restaurants to go to, and all these other stuff is really cool though.
Were you rooting for the Patriots?
No, I was actually rooting for the Rams though. When I was in the stadium though, there was it seemed like there was a lot more Patriots fans than there were Rams fans. I was like, yeah, I don't want Tom Brady to win. Though I respect him a lot on his game. He's a great athlete, but, man, I don't know. I just don't like him. I just wanted the Rams to win.
We're talking to Cole Gilliland. He's from Oklahoma, and he is himself an athlete. He obviously has opinions about a few athletes, other athletes out there. Cole, has anyone ever told you that you inspire them?
Oh yeah, I mean there's been some people that have told me that that they were inspired by me, and it was just really cool that I was working in their lives to hopefully have them, you know, just give it all they got and just give 100%. So.
Well, you're only 13. You have a lot of years ahead of you. Any ideas about what you want to do in the future?
Oh, I don't know about what to, I don't know. I haven't really thought about it much, what I might do in the future, but I might, like, you know, go to.
All right. Well, it looks like we lost Cole there at the end, but a special young man, 13 years old, star athlete at his middle school, even though he was born with only one hand. And so we thank Cole for being with us. Coming up on World Changers, we're going to meet a lady who started a different kind of coffee shop. And we'll learn a little bit about her story and how she is being a world changer where she lives. You're listening to World Changers on the Biz Talk Radio Network. We'll be back in just a moment. I like a good cup of coffee every once in a while. I don't know about you, but I like a good cup of coffee. There's a place in Crown Point, Indiana, that serves not just good coffee, but a little bit more than that. It is owned by Brianne Zolfo, who we welcome into World Changers now. How you doing, Brianne?
Great. How are you? Thank you for having me.
I am fine. I'm fine. So your business is called Cafe Fresco. And like I said, you're in Crown Point, Indiana. And once upon a time, you were a nanny, is that right?
Yeah, I nannied before I opened the business.
So you're working as a nanny, and you come up with the idea to open a coffee house. It's been 6 years ago since you did that. And almost from the beginning, your particular coffee house had a uniqueness to it. Tell us about that.
So we opened originally the cafe 6 years ago, and we had wanted to focus on the community. So when we first opened, we took coffee sleeves and we would write on the outside of them. It started out as a way to pass time, but it eventually became something that caught on with people. And a few years after that, we started doing the pay it forward sleeves. So on the outside would be the inspirational quote that we would write on. And then the inside would be the pay it forward because we wanted the customers to go out into the community and pay it forward as a way to spread our mission.
Let's talk about that mission first, and then we'll talk about kind of how you live that out. So you wanted to inspire people. In addition to warming their hearts with coffee, you wanted to warm their hearts in other ways. So talk to me about, you know, where that comes from. So on this show, we're on the Biz Talk Radio Network, we often interview entrepreneurs who I like to say do well by doing good. But what's the source of it? You know, you could do just fine and make a living by selling cups of coffee, but you've decided to go further than that. Where did that come from?
So we realize how many people go throughout their day and they don't have any inspiration or any positive thoughts or anything. And so we wanted to be that little bit of inspiration that could carry on their day and just something for them to smile about throughout the day. So that was our way of giving back to the community and the people in the community, just as a way to have that little piece in their day.
So you probably have regulars, right?
Yeah.
How big is Crown Point, Indiana?
It's small compared to a lot of places. I think there's 60,000 or 70,000 now, but it's a small town.
And so you probably know some of your customers. You probably, in some cases, know what's going on with their lives or with their kids and that sort of thing.
Yeah, we always say it's like Cheers in the cafe because we know everyone's names and they become family to us.
So somebody comes through, they're getting this little message written on there. To what extent do you sometimes customize those for a specific person who you know might be dealing with some particular, you know, problem or issue or catastrophe or stress or something like that?
Well, so the funny thing is when we are intentional about writing the sleeves, the people will always say, like, this spoke to me or this is exactly what I needed to hear. Because the more intention we put into the sleeves, the more people say that that's what they needed today and that's what got them through the day. And it's cool to see, like, when you're intentional about doing something, how it can affect other people. And I think that's always been our mission, is just being intentional about helping the community and giving back to the community. And when we're able to help someone throughout their day because of the words that they read, like, that's a really cool feeling.
So do you have employees at this business?
Yeah, there's 13 employees.
13 employees. Wow. So as a CEO, you know, how do you take that value and communicate it and make it such a part of your company culture that everybody buys into it?
Well, we don't take any applications. So I go out and search out the people because I have a specific mission that I want, and it's about giving back to the community. And by going out and finding the employees, I know that they're going to follow my mission and they believe in it as much as I do. And so it's been nice because in the 6 years, I've been able to find the exact people that want to be a part of my mission. They want to be a part of giving back to the community. And it's really cool to be surrounded by people that care as much about it as you do.
Well, that is unique. That is unique because you're really, you know, you have to stoke the fires of passion in your employees constantly. So let's now talk about the kind of the give back part of it. So you're in the coffee shop business. You're in the business to sell coffee, but something tells me that you might just give away quite a few cups of coffee. How does that work?
Yeah. So we have different ways that we give away free cups of coffee. We have a Suspeso program, which is people that can't afford coffee or they're down on their luck. We give them free coffee. We also do, if you pay it forward, you can get a free cup of coffee, any drink, once you show us that you paid it forward. So we've given over 3,000 cups of coffee in the 6 years just for different things that people have done. This is our way of saying thank you for helping the community, or thank you being a part of the community, just as our way to give back for something.
And people probably don't do that for the free coffee, do they?
No, I think it's just like they know that it makes them feel better, and they love being able to pay it forward or help other people. And so the incentive of free coffee isn't as valuable as just being able to go out in the community and help other people. The feeling that you have is like nothing else.
So, you know, you're part of a whole new class of social entrepreneur out there that we're seeing kind of crop up in cities and towns like yours all across the country. And one of the things that we see is that sometimes when one or two businesses crop up with this kind of ethos, that it inspires others. Have you, at this point, you're 6 years in, have you seen much ricochet effect from your particular business with other businesses in your community?
Yeah, I think it's caught on recently. I'd say within the past 2 or 3 years, I think that the economy and the world really needs this positivity or this pay it forward movement. And so I think it's been contagious, and we started a fire, a small fire, and it just caught on like wildfire, and people, it's just a contagious feeling to be able to give back to other people, and like they love that gratifying feeling. And so it's caught on with other business owners or with other people in the community that they just want to help out and they just want to give back.
How is it, Brianne, again, we're talking to Brianne Zolfo with Cafe Fresco from Crown Point, Indiana. How is it, Brianne, that you measure success at this point?
I'd say that, like, to have an impact on someone's life is how you can measure success, because it's easy to say you would measure success by monetary or other norms that you would think of it when you would think of a business. But to measure success and to be able to impact people's lives, I think that makes the most successful people. Like, you're being able to change someone's life or give them that bit of hope or give them that encouragement, and that's how success should be measured.
One of the things you mentioned earlier that I've always wondered about, so you said that when somebody in your community is down on their luck or having a hard time, that they can come in and they can get a free cup of coffee. I've seen businesses, you know, have this sort of program before. Is it something that people really take you up on?
Yeah. I mean, they would never tell me that they do, but I can always, by the way that they're talking or what they're saying, I know when they are. And I think a lot of people are prideful and they don't want to accept help. But I think when we accept help, we realize that everyone, like, people aren't out to get you. Everyone wants to help somebody. And so to be able to identify, oh, this person could probably use the help, or this person could really use that, I think it's good for them as well as it is for you, because you're able to help somebody and brighten their day or help them when they're down on their luck. And I think that creates a ripple effect, and they want to help somebody because they were helped.
So I'm kind of curious how that works. So basically what you're telling me is somebody's in there and they don't necessarily, you know, raise their hand and say, hey, I'm here for a free cup of coffee, I've just lost my job or something like that.
No.
So, you know, how do you handle that? Walk me through, you know, how you handle it, how you train your employees to handle that situation where they just don't, I guess, end up with a check. Is that right?
Yeah, well, I always tell them that, like, if someone walks in and they're talking about maybe they lost their job or something is happening in their lives, like, just say it's on the house or it's paid for, or just different ways to make it seem like we're not directing it towards them. We're not, like, because a lot of people don't want a handout. but just to say, like, we're doing something to brighten your day. We just want to help you out. And just, and then they're more willing to accept it.
All right. Spreading hope and positivity one cup of coffee at a time. Brianne Zolfo from Crown Point, Indiana. Thank you for being our World Changers.
Thank you so much for having me.
We'll be back with more in just a moment. Stay tuned. You know, one of the things I've learned is that human beings have a tremendous capacity to do good. If you just look around you, you're going to find a lot of good in the world. Welcome back to World Changers. I'm Jamie Osborne. There's a lady in Georgia who has recently done something that some would say is incredibly inspiring. Other people probably, what she did blows their mind that somebody would do this for a complete stranger. But nevertheless, she has a story to tell, and she's here to tell it. Her name is Amanda Hayhurst. She is in Buford, Georgia. Welcome to World Changers.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, glad you're here. So you... you're a mom, and once upon a time, you were at your kid's karate class, right?
Yes.
And you saw a poster there. My kids, when we go to stuff like karate, there's a lot of waiting around when you're a parent at stuff like that. So you happened to notice a poster at the karate studio, and what did it say?
It was a flyer about a woman who was on dialysis. She had been on the kidney transplant waiting list for 8 years. She was a single mom, and she was desperately needing a kidney donor.
And tell me your first reaction. If you can think back, you're there, you're waiting for your kid. You see this flyer. What was your very first reaction?
Well, my first reaction is I'm too busy to read this. I see flyers all the time, and I usually don't give it a second thought. But I was really drawn in to the flyer. I had my infant with me, and he was getting fussy, and so I had took him over to the side of the room, and so I was there consoling him. So I had a few seconds, and I started reading it, and I was just really, I was just pulled into it. And I had an overwhelming feeling. It was a God thing. You know, God prompted me. He said, you're going to do this. You're going to donate your kidney to her.
So then you went home, right? And you, I'm guessing, continued to maybe have this come up in your mind. At what point did you tell somebody else?
Well, we were driving home. I was with my husband, and I told him about the flyer, and I was telling him about this woman's story. And I remember him turning around and looking at me, and he's like, "Oh my gosh, Amanda, are you going to donate your kidney to her? Like, is that where this is going?" I'm like, "I don't know. I can't explain what just happened, but I know I want to get more information." So he was the first person I told. And from there, I called the transplant coordinator, because it was a flyer with a little tear off on the bottom. So I had the little tear off of the phone number to her. So I called her, and that's when I told her, I want more information. How do I get started to see if I'm a match?
And so you mentioned earlier that you had your infant with you. So so you're not just a mom of older kids, but you also had an infant at this time. And probably a lot on your plate. Is that fair?
Oh, absolutely. I actually remember thinking, how can I take on any more? I work full time. I'm a mom. I have an 8-year-old, and I'm a 1-year-old now. Very, very, very busy. I'm super active. I work out. I have a very big social life. So adding something new for me wasn't smart. A lot of people thought I was crazy. But I just knew I was called to do it. So all of that really didn't matter.
Okay, so you saw the flyer. You instantly thought that you know, God is tapping me on the shoulder, asking me to do this. You mentioned it to your husband. You contact the transplant coordinator. Now, the recipient's name is Von Shell Knight, and I think you may have mentioned she'd been on this transplant wait list for 8 years. And, you know, I don't know what the statistical chances are of a person being a match for a kidney, but certainly was far from a foregone conclusion, despite the fact that you were willing or interested in helping. How did you feel, you know, so a few months go by, there's some tests. When they told you you were a match, how did you feel at that moment?
I started crying because I was so excited to do it. I remember when I, you know, the first feeling I had to do it, I was full of fear. I was anxious. I was nervous. But as time went on, I had a peace about it, and I wanted to do it so bad that I thought, if I get a phone call that I'm a match, I'll break down because I want it so bad. So it really changed a lot from where I started. So I was ecstatic. I felt like it was Christmas when I found out.
That was your reaction. Other people in your life, anybody try to talk you out of it?
I would say 2 out of 10 people tried to talk me out of it. They were shocked that I was doing this for someone that I didn't know. But I feel like we're called to love everyone in that way. You know, it's easy to do that for your friends or your family, but for a stranger, it's just not something that you hear anymore. But it didn't bother me. I was ready for people to try to talk me out of it. So, yeah, I definitely had people that tried to talk me out of it.
So that surgery ultimately did take place on January 25th. It was successful. Both of you have now recovered, and I understand you are doing well. What have you learned, Amanda?
I think more people should do this. Going through all of this, I mean, I have no pain. It's been 9 days. I have no pain. I think having a baby was harder. I'm on fire for living kidney donation. I feel like more people should do it. I mean, we all have two perfectly healthy kidneys. I've learned so much about donation. So I just think more people should do it.
Well, thank you for what you've done and for inspiring other people. Amanda Hayhurst has been our guest. She's from Buford, Georgia, and we wish you continued successful recovery and all the best for you and for the recipient of your kidney, Von Shell Knight, down there in Georgia. And that wraps up another edition of World Changers, the show about everyday people doing well by doing good. We look forward to seeing you back here again next week. I'm Jamie Osborne. Take care. God bless.